It is June 1st, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. Ooh.
We back.
I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley.
Across the table from me.
In this COVID-free zone, we have Dan James joining us remotely from his home studio.
Good evening.
We have Kendrick Brock, Richard Gordon, Stephen Perales on the trap at the moment. Kendrick Brock asking already, did Brian Schmetzer put a curse on us for taking Pineda from him? I don't know if that's the cure. Maybe it's Pineda out.
Yeah, I'm surprised people aren't calling for his head already.
Yeah, it's
maybe this is like 40 chess. Like our team's really not that good, and rather than him taking the fall for it, like coaches in the past for not producing results, he's just finding a way to keep getting them injured by over practicing and over training them. And
it's the injuries, man. It's just the injuries.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's 40 chess for sure. That's some some wacky shit. A little housekeeping. If you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and or review. We will read it live on the show. I don't think we have anything new, do we?
I don't think so.
If you guys are listening to us or watching us on the YouTubes, make sure that you guys subscribe, hit the notification bell icon. And if you're watching live right now, smash that like button. Help the algorithms and just help everybody find us. Instead of why are people watching TikTok ports of YouTube shorts or YouTube shorts of TikTok videos that get ported over instead of watching us?
Oh yeah, well,
you need to be watching us.
It's basically reels, right?
It is just reels. That's right. Like I deleted Instagram while I was sick. I'm like, I'm already spending way too much time on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so, I mean, it all ends up there and it all ends up in one of the three apps.
It's one of three companies that owns all of them. So,
yeah, yeah, it's whatever. Yeah. Anyway, you should be watching us instead, like Brittany asked. Yeah, it feels good to be back. It's been a while. Like I haven't recorded with you guys in forever.
No. Yeah.
Like before I went
remember the last time we recorded.
It was just you and I. And
whenever I was in Buffalo?
Yeah, we recorded with
Mike German?
Mike, yep.
Yeah, I think that was whenever I was in Buffalo, or that was whenever...
Yeah, it was when you were in Buffalo, and then we were going to record the next week, and I had work,
and then I had
COVID, yeah. And then the week after, Dan had work, and you were coming off of COVID, and so here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I got all the antibodies now. How are you guys feeling? I mean,
Tim,
what did I have? Friday night to Monday morning, I battled. It was like a little over 100, probably like 100, like a little over 100 fever and chills. Hundo P fever. Mm-hmm. Fever, chills, and just like a bad head cold on top of it. It was like a mild flu. I honestly would have. For me, it was, I know a lot of people had a lot of difficulties, like you got hit.
Yeah, I've certainly been, my thing was always like, I didn't enjoy it. I've certainly been more sick than I was then, but it wasn't the worst thing, but it wasn't great. Like the fatigue and the muscle soreness really knocked me on my ass the second day.
Yeah, the muscle, the lung capacity right now for me is kind of shot. And then I understood. And like I was carrying my daughter around in Home Depot the other day and I was like getting winded looking at plants.
That was bizarre.
And then yesterday I helped move a couch at work and then my quads almost gave out on me. Like the muscle, like,
yeah,
just like, this is weird. This is weird. Yeah.
So you're blaming that on COVID now, Tim? Your weak limbs?
Yeah. I mean,
it couldn't be a lack of working out for the past 18 months, could it?
Dude, I was doing like an hour on the stair climber every night before that.
The stairs.
So I was bouncing on the ball. What do you want from me?
I need to get Apple Watch so I can keep up with you guys. You guys can see my workouts.
You do. You do. Yeah. Or you don't, because you don't want to see it.
No, yeah, I want an Apple Watch
Kevin
for the health
just
stuff.
Pick your weakest workout and comment on it, regardless of whatever you've done.
It's not my fault that Dan logs a stretch as I work out. I mean,
you can't help it. It does it automatically.
This is so ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm usually not getting off of the Bowflex without hitting that like 400 or 500 mark
that's
of calories.
That's
so,
the way to go.
Yeah. That's
good job, Tim.
Not happening anytime soon. It's going to be rough, but no, I think I would have rather had what I had, that reaction, than like a traditional flu. Because like Eileen said, I didn't have like muscle soreness or anything like that. But I know everybody is different with it. It's such weird.
It's weird, man. I hope the rest of you guys listening, guys and gals listening, are all staying healthy, because I know it seems like it's going around again pretty bad. I know at least 10 people that have had it in the past 2 or 3 weeks that have popped up with it. So
I blame mine on like a very crazy like 3-day schedule, flying to Buffalo and Baltimore and back to Atlanta. Like actually 2 days, and one of those flights I had to get up at like 3 a.m. for. So I don't think that I was really setting my immune system up for being in contact with all those people. So, but it was a good time.
It sucks, Tim.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good experience with COVID. Symptoms were real mild. I was quarantined away from my family in the bedroom. So my wife brought me food for every meal. I played Tony Hawk's and watched Cobra Kai.
We all had the same experience, basically. Yeah. Just different shows, but different games, but same exact scenario.
I've never regretted not heeding a warning about something as much as this lately, where you told me to get the grips for the Switch.
Uh-huh. Because them hands is going to start getting gnarled.
Have you gotten Hades? Did you get Hades yet?
Not yet, no.
It is such a button-mashing dungeon crawler. No. My right hand just starts to close itself.
Yep.
Like, it's tough.
Speaking of which, Mario Strikers comes out next week, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
They were doing a free trial of it this past weekend. I didn't do it, but.
No, I'm definitely going to pick that up, though. That'll be fun. Dan, are you? I know you have got the Switch over there. Do you have Nintendo Online or whatever?
I think so. If not, I'll just get it. So we can
it's like $6 a year.
Yeah, exactly. So
I've got to get some new controllers that I won't let my kids use, because they pick. You know, the thumb controller, they pick the rubber thing off.
Oh, come on.
So it's like you move and your thumb just slips off the controller. Like, God damn it, children.
You know, it's so funny. Yeah, dude, it was that. And then the N64. Well, I was a kid back then, but the N64, like playing WCW Revenge and getting the Stigmata hand from, because there was no padding on that joystick.
Those joysticks had like little concentric rings in it, but by the time we got done playing after a couple of weeks, it just got so full of scar tissue that it was smoothed over.
So Eric Ferreira is saying in the trap, we need a Mario Strikers tournament.
I like it.
And it's funny because Kevin sent me a couple days ago, it was like 4 years to the date from whenever we did our charity FIFA tournament for soccer in the streets at Second Self Brewing.
Yep.
And that was really fun. And I think that Mario Strikers would be.
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
That would be super fun. Yeah, we might have to think about doing that.
Oh, man, I got to show you a video later. Speaking of Switch, so for Memorial Day weekend, we had a family get together, and my sister and brother-in-law they had Just Dance on the Switch, and I brought mine too, so we were all able to play. Oh my God, dude.
Is that fun?
Not only is it ridiculous, but inevitably, whenever you've got 6 people playing Just Dance in a small, confined space, people are getting smacked left and right. And there's one moment where my brother-in-law is doing some move, and you just hear crack, and my nephew is just going, oh! He hit him right in the back of the head.
You're a poor child.
Oh, man.
Poor child.
Yep. Real great.
Oh,
real
great. Dear God. As you guys can tell, we're doing anything that we can to not talk about the pain that is Atlanta United.
Yeah, that's very true. It was a good segue talking about injuries into finally talking about Atlanta United. My statement months ago remains true. Atlanta United has not gone 2 consecutive matches without an injury all season.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah. Look how happy he is.
He's a madman.
It's ridiculous.
He's Dr. Robotnik.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
He is Jim Carrey starring as Dr. Robotnik.
What is this team going to do in the transfer window? Because now I don't even know what the priority is anymore.
I don't know either, dude. It's tough because we have Joseph back. He told the press that he felt like shit, or he felt like he played like shit, right? I believe that was the quote from Joe Patrick, if I'm not mistaken. Something in the post game. He's like, how do you feel you played? He said, shit. But you would think that maybe that fills the gap. I mean, we're going to be without Dom Dwyer every other game because of suspensions. So maybe we need another backup. Because I didn't even realize he got a red at the end of the game.
I didn't think he got a red. I thought he got a yellow.
He didn't get a red at the end of the game.
No, he got a yellow. Pineda got a red.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry, the Pineda thing is why this is fucking me up, because I have the box score up and it has Dom Dwyer with a yellow and then a red underneath him, but that's because Pineda isn't listed on the roster to pull into the stats or whatever. Right. Okay, sorry. But yes, not having Thiago Almada for next game is going to suck.
Dude, it doesn't matter to me anymore.
What a stupid, stupid red card.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so dumb. Like, I don't. What was he thinking?
I mean, you can't bump the referee like that. But I was like, that referee was shit. So inconsistent with the calls, and then you know he was walking over towards Almada, and Almada bumped him. It was on Almada, but the referee didn't do him any favors, and the ref was just gleeful to be able to give a red card. I was not a fan of Dickerson or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Joe Dickerson. You can't, but both things can be wrong, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, both people in that scenario can be doing something stupid.
I mean, yeah, it can both be wrong, but Almada's paying the price.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it could be a learning experience for... How old is he now? Is he 20?
I think he's almost 20.
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning experience for him. So it's really stupid, though, because we're without a guy who has shown to be maybe our most...
He's been involved in five of the last seven goals.
Yeah, he's our most dangerous player.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and the fact that we're... not only going to be losing Ronald Hernandez after we lost maybe our best performer all season.
Dude, that's the other heartbreaking thing is these guys that are getting international call-ups that are going down with injuries at pivotal points in the season that are likely going to miss any World Cup call-ups that they would have gotten. You know? Yeah.
Well, Venezuela didn't qualify, right? But I mean, like Miles Robinson.
No, but Miles Robinson out. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, cause you see Aaron Long is going to start tonight with Walker Zimmerman. So it's like that second spot was surely Miles Robinson's spot.
Yeah.
It's a Burton Boise saying we just playing for the vibes at this point.
Yeah, man, it's rough. It's seeing Gutman go down now is probably, I don't know. It's tough to say whose injury has hurt more emotionally at this point, because there's been so many. Right now, I'll tell you what's hurting me the most is seeing Bobby Shuttleworth in goal week in and week out.
Do you think he wants to be there? I don't think he wants to be there.
He's barely there to begin with.
Yeah. He was super great.
He was absolutely awful. He had bad timing, bad distribution, bad reflexes. I mean,
and he's not been great. Leading up, like this match wasn't like it was a fluke for him. It's not like he's had some huge standout performance. He's been middle of the road at best since he's gotten put into the position.
Do you think Brad is faking this injury to be like, see, you guys really don't appreciate me? It's like, you guys really,
you guys are spoiled.
Yeah. In the words of Frank DeBoer. Yeah.
Because we were. I mean, that I feel like that rings just truer and truer as time moves on. But it's interesting because of with Brad going out and Shuttleworth being just terrible, I feel like goalkeeper is a position you can really identify to bring to make a serious signing in the summer transfer window.
Is Rocco Rios Novo not a serious signing for you? Obviously, like, he's not that rated, right? I think Pineda probably doesn't rate him that highly if he's sitting behind Bobby Shuttlesworth.
Eric Ferreira says that exactly, basically. Imagine how bad Rocco is that he can't find playing time right now.
No, I don't think it's... So the thing is with Rocco, well, one, he's on loan. Two, he's only 19. So, and he's... I mean, his market value is, what, almost $1 million. So on transfer market, but whatever. He's good, but he's incredibly young. I feel like he needs time to develop.
What's the point of bringing him in on a loan?
For depth cover, because he was a known entity. He's not going to take an international spot.
But are Lanús not playing right now?
No, they're playing.
Right. Was he not starting for them?
No.
No? Not getting any time for them? So it's sitting on the bench with us versus sitting on the bench at Lanús?
But I feel like, well, now he can play with... I mean, he's playing with the twos right now. I mean, they're down 2-0. So,
well, there's that.
But I feel like you can bring in... Because he's so young, you can bring in a keeper who's a good, like a decent keeper to be take that number one spot and allow Novo to develop on a... I don't know, on a decent trajectory rather than just slamming him in the first team at 19 and saying, okay, go for it. Because, you know, that could end up being detrimental for his development. So I feel like you gotta string him along somehow.
But isn't that what has the fan base ravenous to bring him in, is because he got foisted into that lineup in Costa Rica?
Open Cup.
Yeah.
Less. Oh, no.
No, it was CCL, right?
That's right.
Wasn't it against...
No, it was Open Cup.
Was
no,
it?
it was CCL against Alajuelense.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, right? Alajuelense, Costa Rica, right? I'm not crazy.
For some reason, I thought it was Open
Cup. I believe so.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, he played good in those two games, but then, I mean, he didn't have the best time with the twos last year. And, I mean, he was the third string keeper at that point in time. I mean, there was just... He was the only option. There was no intent of playing him. It's like Adam Dijon playing now. There was no intent of playing him, but here he is starting.
Here he is, better than Alan Franco.
Change my mind.
Tell me Alex Dijon as a center back for Atlanta United is not a better center back for Atlanta United than Alan
Franco.
He's
certainly
Franco
not
right
been
now.
As big of a liability as Franco has been.
He hasn't made any of those noticeable mistakes. Plus, it seems to be like he's the guy they cross the ball into on corners.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets his head to the ball too.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't lose his man on the first goal in the first minute of the game like Alan Franco did, right? That was Alan Franco's man?
No, the first goal on the corner, that was Hernandez. That's whenever he went down because Shuttleworth took out his knees.
I was rewatching it. I could have swore that Franco was tracking.
I think that was the
Rosetta
prior.
Okay.
I think you're getting that mixed up.
No. Maybe it was Soseto and not.
Yeah. I think Franco. Nashville game, Franco lost his guy. Which, what a shit show that was.
The Nashville game?
For the delay and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to have the game end like it did
with
that on a breakaway, two on one on a breakaway, and just have the whistle blown exactly as stoppage time was up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's total bullshit. You think Alex Dijon was at fault for being put on an island on that second goal?
No, I mean, he's the only way back. That's how we're going to play. I mean, it was either going to be him or somebody else.
Was that you? Yeah. Right. I mean, we got beat over the top on that ball.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely got put on an island and kind of just got.
But I mean, so he didn't make an error, but he did get beat. So,
but Hurtado's not a bad striker to get beat by on a one-on-one, right? I mean,
no, he's a pretty good Peruvian. I think he plays for the national team.
Yeah. He used to play for Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe
so. Yeah. He's a solid striker.
And he did really well on that goal. I mean, he really slotted it in the far post, even though I feel like Shuttleworth dived way too late to make a difference anyway. But it was still a great finish by Vettori.
No, it absolutely was. But that first corner, the fact that Bobby doesn't get a body on that is just
– yeah.
It's not great, man. It's not a good look at all. What was a good look? Go ahead.
I feel like Shuttleworth could have done better, you know, on that Butzka goal against Chicago, the first one they scored where he got nutmegged. He should have done better against in the Open Cup when Zubac scored in extra time for the winner. Yeah. I mean, that was a ridiculous angle. And I'm done with Bobby Shuttleworth.
Agreed.
Yeah. Is Eric Ferrer telling me to go back and look at the highlights from the match about Alex DeJohn saying he doesn't look he does not look great.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. But he is the fourth person down the depth chart.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, DeJohn has a looking at who scored. DeJohn's rated at 7.3 and Franco's rated at 7.1 and Franco got an assist. So,
yeah, and that automatically boosts your score. Yeah,
exactly.
On the positive side, first bicycle, right? Bicycle goal for Atlanta United.
Yeah, I mean, how could you miss that one?
I mean,
for at least 4 yards.
Tom Dwyer.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
It was pretty great.
I didn't realize what happened whenever it happened. And I watching the replay, he scored a bike.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a deflection or something went in. No, that was a clean ass bike from 4 feet away.
It really was. Really
how
was.
Interesting is it that Dom Dwyer's now in all competitions he's a number one goal scorer.
Oh wow. Yeah. I
always rated him. I'm pretty sure I tweeted that from the account.
Yeah, he did not do good at Orlando, but he's doing pretty good for us right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to choose right now between him and Cisneros.
Is it, though?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Dwyer comes on and he's dogged. He's has all heart. He's just an asshole, which I love because...
Oh, dude, after he scored that goal and he shoved that guy into the back of the net trying to get the ball to go reset, that got me so pumped.
Well, there was one play, I think it was against Chicago. The play, I think it was the second half, the play was called dead and the ball happened to bounce out to Dwyer, who was on the edge of the 18. And even though the whistle had gone like 5 seconds later, and it was obvious the whistle had gone, nobody was playing, everyone had acknowledged the whistle, he still like tried to ram the ball into the goal from the top of the 18, and it just hit one of the Chicago defenders right in the stomach, and they all started swarming around, and he was like, what, I'm just messing around.
Just having a goof.
Dan, do you feel like you identify him or identify with him as a British naturalized American citizen?
I guess so. I ordered.
Or it's just an asshole.
Yeah, that's true. More the asshole.
I think it's a little redundant from the Department of Redundancy Department. It's last note on
Bob. I ordered one of the new parlay kits. Though it's not going to be ready for like a month.
What do you think about it? So, well, I mean, you got
it's not
one.
Purple.
So
it's not purple.
It looked purple to me.
It's not purple.
It's not.
I don't know. Yeah. They say it's purple. They said purple is temporary, whatever, but.
It's a reddish blue.
That looks blue to me.
It looks like a Clemson kit to me.
Yeah. You didn't
no, one? It's not that
no,
purple.
Purple's not my color.
It's definitely not that purple.
It just looks like a Minecraft pattern to me, the way it's like, it's not a seamless thing. Like, it's clearly just blocks that have stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't even know how I feel about it. Like, from all that, because I just, as soon as it came out, I was like, well, I'm trying to collect all the kits, so I'll just order it. And then the more, like, I find out about it, like, I think Dean posted something in the Slack of a zoomed in image of the crest, and it just like it's screen printed onto the to the shirt, and it's like, oh, it doesn't look good. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll get Dwyer's name on the back or something like
do
that.
It.
Did you get the wavy bacon kit?
I have, yeah.
Oh, why, dude?
Because I mean, from a distance, it looks good.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It does. I like the maroon and orange.
Ugh. Maroon and orange is nice, but the wavy bacon is. It's a little
bacon strips, dude.
I mean, it's not.
Just get
it's
strips written on the back.
Five strips.
I think it's a good. I think it was a good concept that they came in, but they just did not execute it well at all.
Nobody got that. That was really good. Thanks. Just get five strips on the back,
yeah.
Or just strips with the number five. Yeah, I like it
exactly. Yeah, I don't know. You can't complain too much because the recycling shit out of the ocean to make these kits, like whatever they end up being, is fine. But why limit it?
Yeah.
Like that just seems so weird to me.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to make this put a false scarcity on this. Cause Lord knows there's plenty of plastic in the ocean to make these kits with.
I still think my favorite two were the first two,
the black one,
the dark gray one. And then that teal one that was the next year.
Yeah.
I think the best one's been the first one.
That was the
dark
gray
one. It's like almost black, right?
Yeah, it's the dark gray one.
Gotcha.
And I just happened to be on my computer on a whim whenever it got posted and got it. And I was like, I didn't know this was going to be a thing.
$100 later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We only wear it once a year, right? So like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Would you take that or would you take the forest kit?
Oh. Dude, there's some bad kits out there. I wasn't a big fan of the star one either. The stars kit.
Oh,
the stars kit.
It was a training kit, right?
No, they did that for 4th of July.
Oh, that was a one?
Oh, yeah. No, the kit. Camo one that was a training kit, right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
There's always like what? There's the Unity kit every year?
I have the Pride kit. That was one of the last
that one, that
I bought.
That one that you got was really cool with the little dot pattern on it. I really like that one. The kids beat or the kick childhood cancer one.
That's the best one.
That one was really cool with the yellow like bubble text letter pattern all over it. I really liked that one.
I don't think I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a plastic. Nice kick.
I can't recall the Unity kit this year. I thought it would look okay, but there's been some that I did not like at all. Wavy bacon being one. I haven't liked any of the 4th of July kits so far.
That's what Kendrick was saying. Those are all warm-up tops.
Gotcha.
I'm ashamed that I only have a couple kits in my closet.
I've only got a handful too. I got the King Peach, the first parlay kit, the inaugural season.
You got both from the inaugural season?
Which?
The five stripes and the
concrete. Yeah, I got those.
Strawberries and concrete.
And then the black kit. Yeah. I got the replica because I really hope next year the new home kit just does not have the stripes on the back of it. It just drives me nuts on the bottom.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, I think that's. Oh, and then I got the silver and white one. I don't remember what the name of that was.
Silver and white one. You mean the king kit? The gold
and
white?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Not the King Peach, but the away kit that came after that.
The one from last year and the year before.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I'm hoping this next. So next year we get a new home kit, right? I'm hoping this is the kit where Larry Lucas had some input into. I can't remember if it's this one or the next round after next year.
I do want to get a forest kit. You said that, and I was thinking camo, the camo ones like you were talking about. But I do like the forest kit. Thinking about it, the one from this year,
with the
triangle pattern on it, all that.
Yeah. Now we should get Realtree as our sponsor and just go camo.
The problem with the forest kit, in my opinion, is that because there's so many gradients and the pattern doesn't carry over onto the back, they had to pick some sort of middle of the road color to transition into the solid. Material on the back, and it just doesn't quite match one versus the other.
Yeah
They should have just done white.
Back to the team, I guess. Casey Donaldson, last thing on Bobby Shuttleworth, Casey says nobody on our team is running into Bobby and hurting themselves.
Well, say that to Ronald Hernandez.
No,
hence her message retracted, I think.
Oh, did it get retracted? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, she was talking about Goose.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Let's say that to Robert Hernandez, who just got
Ronald Hernandez,
who's now out. With
I read it as her saying that they're not purposefully running into Bobby; he's running into them, which he did, right? Like he. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what is that like? Is this just going to force us to play three in the back, which I love?
We're going to end up with a one back here soon.
I think you're going to have to.
I don't mind a one in the back just because of how much attacking power we have. I like it. I like one in the back. Put George Campbell back there and just
hold it.
Just
down.
Pray.
Hold the line.
Or it could be like, you know, we've been watching some hockey playoffs. Pull the goalie. Play possession. We already do really well playing possession a lot of the time. It's not like they can get the ball from us to go put in the back of our net. We get another guy on the field. I like it. Pull the goalie.
Well, so watching a little bit of this Twos game that's going on, I'd forgotten how much Rios Novo likes to play out of the box. He's almost like a sweeper. So you could, if you're playing him, then he would be. He becomes one of the three back line. So you could just play a two center back configuration and then have Rios Novo go back and forth between that and the goal.
Dude, sweeper keeper? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Basically playing five aside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Call Anibal up. Where's he at?
I mean, it's gotta be
parking somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta do three center backs. I mean, Mikey Ambrose, God bless him, was not the guy. And all we've got is Franco, Campbell, and DeJohn. Unless you want to call Ephraim Morales or Noah Cobb, but they're all center backs too. Our back depth is
Caleb Wiley is who Brittany S brings up, who may be back by the time that we come back.
Well, right? I think with Wiley, I want to see more Wiley. Give me more Wiley on the field, but I think let's not give him defensive responsibilities. Let's just get him up the wing so he can be a left wing back in a 3-5-2 or something.
So I've lost track of all the injuries. Who all is out for the season now? Obviously
for full for the season.
Yeah. Guzan, Robinson, Hernandez, right?
No, Hernandez is,
I thought he was out with
3 to 4 months.
Pretty much the season, dude.
Season he'd be back
until October.
He would be back for playoffs.
He'd be back for the playoffs.
He's out for the season. So Hernandez is out for the season.
I don't know. I still have faith we're going to make the playoffs.
Gutman's 2 to 3 months.
So Gutman's going to be close.
Yeah, it's 8 to 12 weeks was his time frame.
Wiley had an ankle injury, though.
But he'll be set to come back.
Ozzie Alonso is out for the season.
Alonso's out for the season.
Sosa is just not rated. Good. But even whenever he's in the 18, he doesn't start.
Yeah.
I feel like Pineda
doesn't rate
him. Well,
that's because he's coming back from sports hernia surgery. I don't think it's just lack of performance.
Oh, okay.
So question remains. Who do we go after?
Machop Choll, Kevin. You're forgetting Machop Choll.
That's exactly what I was forgetting. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Who do we go for in transfer window?
Matthew Hoppe.
What position do we go for?
Get like three new strikers.
You really think
I do. I really.
Every time we've had this conversation, it's flipped from like, we don't know what to do without Joseph. We gotta get somebody up there that can do something. And now it's, we don't have any defenders left.
Yeah. No, for real though, I still think if Matthew Hoppe's available for the fee that they're talking about of $4 million, I think it's a steal. You got to make that deal every time. No? What?
Okay. Not for $4 million. Hell no. It's too much.
What?
He went from Schalke to Mallorca for $4 million. That's too much, Tim.
Inflation, Dan. What's?
It's going to be a long lead time. How does that affect?
I mean, you're right.
How does the lead times affect transfers? Like, if you buy them now, do you not get them for an extra like 16 weeks?
Yeah,
because of the supply chain.
Wait, is that $4 million? Is that futures or is that actuals? Is that like right now,
well, I guess,
or is that 4 months from now?
It's always futures.
Yeah, but I don't know, dude.
But what is he going to give us? So we've already got,
we have at least three more major injuries before now in the transfer window. So who knows what we'll need.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dude, we didn't even talk about that poor guy who came. Was he from Schalke? Who came and trained with us and blew out his ACL or his Achilles? He was trialing with us up in Kennesaw, and he's out for the year now.
I forgot all about that.
Oh,
sucker!
Yeah, you can't make that shit up, can you?
No, children's like. It should have never been.
I told you, Piedmont is getting their money's worth as a sleeve sponsor this year.
Good God. I don't think it's stop naming your training facilities after a medical facility. Dude. Like don't let a hospital sponsor your medical facility.
Mulroney's got to be so happy to be out now.
Has he played for Orlando yet?
I don't know.
I completely forgot he was gone. Yeah. I don't know. It's anyway, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? There are probably some U.S. men's national team center backs that might need some play time in the summer to get into the squad.
So are you just looking to loan someone, Tim?
For right now, I don't. You would think so, right? Like for the rest of the season, just due to the fact that you have Miles Robinson coming back.
Oh, you mean going into next year?
Yeah, going to like, do you go for a permanent transfer right now?
I got a question for you.
Or do you get mercenaries?
I got a question for you. We knew that Miles Robinson, or we all felt like Miles Robinson probably was gone after this season based on his trajectory. Do you think that his injury has hurt his chances of getting a trade in the offseason coming off of that injury without any play time?
100%.
So you think he's going to be back next year?
He's a player that relies so much on his athleticism,
right?
And blowing out your Achilles is,
yeah.
I think it's going to have to be like, he has to probably show people again.
So it's probably good that it happened is what you're saying.
Oh my God. That's fucking terrible. Yeah. That's fucking terrible. For the front office, maybe. But.
Do you think they're doing this on purpose then?
I feel like if you're going to bring anyone in, it's going to have to be on loan because you've got so many pieces that you want around for next year, apart from, you know, maybe, you know, Cisneros is on. I mean, maybe you could bring in a backup striker. I feel like goalkeeper is where you want to bring someone permanent in, but the rest is probably going to be a loan. I'd love to see a veteran midfielder. Osvaldo Alonso-esque come in.
Is there anybody that's like out of favor right now in MLS that fits that bill that we might be able to bring in?
Defensively or in midfield?
Midfield.
I mean, I'd love Dax McCarty, but there's no way you're getting him.
No, I do not want that man near Atlanta. I don't know. He just rubs me the wrong way. He's just like a shit starter. He's definitely got, you know, probably A tier, not S tier, like, but A tier probably shithousery stats.
But that's what you want on your team.
Yeah, but I've only seen him against our team, so that makes me not want him on our team.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense. Okay.
Sure it does. Sure it does. You've hurt me 10 times. I don't want to date you. Like, I don't want you part of, I don't want you in my family. All you do is hurt my feelings. Why do I want you in my family?
He doesn't need to be in your family. He just needs to be someone who can defend you when someone at one of the big boys at the bar comes and threatens you and your girlfriend.
But how am I going to get a cheaper cell phone bill? That's where Visible steps in.
Oh my God.
This episode is brought to you by The Download.
No, it's not time for that yet.
No. He's got 2 weeks to charge a shot.
No, what are you talking about? We got Punta Cana on the 14th, right?
Punta Cana? What?
Who are we playing on the 14th?
Pachuca?
That's the one.
We're going to the Dominican.
Yeah, I got a big game coming up, dude.
I can put the kind of
listens for all the marbles.
Is it? It's just an exhibition, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Does Atlanta just
Does Atlanta just withdraw from that at this point?
Oh, is this camp? This isn't Campione's Cup. It's the American Family Insurance Cup.
That's right.
It's some. It's Abuela's dinner plate.
Exactly.
It's Abuela's dinner plate, as Danny Palacios would say. Yeah. I forgot. I didn't even actually. I didn't forget because I didn't even know
exactly
we were playing an exhibition.
So yeah, we got Putacana coming up.
Yeah.
Pachama. What is it? Pajamas?
Pachuca.
Yeah. What does this team do for that game? Does anybody really care?
Put Rios Novo in goal.
Yeah, exactly. I think they just call up all of the twos.
It's probably going to be, yeah. I mean, that you're probably right. It's probably going to be an opportunity to see what some of these.
I would not play a single designated player in that game.
No.
We cannot risk injuries for that nonsense.
Not on that turf.
No. Call in the experts. Stay vigilant. Speaking of which, our buddy Will Bowron, new book coming out this week, right?
It's
coming up. I know he was doing a giveaway on Instagram, I think.
Let's see. Will Bowron.
I thought it was coming out.
On Goodreads, June 7th.
Okay.
So it's expected on June 7th, so next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go check him out. Will Bowron on Instagram. He's doing a giveaway with a signed copy. So, yeah, be sure to do that. Coming out soon. June 6th is the day before launch day. So, yeah, what did you say? June 7th? So, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Casey Donaldson saying, I feel like this is right, that you get a Golden Corral gift certificate for winning the American Family Insurance Cup.
Hey, yep, that's 100% true.
But I'm pretty sure it's just the Chick-fil-A seat upgrade is what you get for winning.
But does it come with the chocolate fountain access?
Oh, what happened to that with COVID?
Nothing. It doesn't transfer on surfaces. You're solid, dude. I mean, you're going to get it from the person next to you, but you're not going to get it from that chocolate. Do not blame that chocolate fountain.
Gross, dude. The fact that chocolate fountains are even a thing in a public setting.
Oh, dude.
With strangers.
Big Chow Grill. No, not Big Chow Grill. That's the one where it's like Mongolian grill, right? Mm-hmm. It was Chow Time Buffet maybe in Smyrna?
That sounds right.
Yes, Chow Time Buffet. We went there with some friends. We had somebody get a soft serve cone and put it in the... put it in the chocolate fountain just to have the chocolate fountain pull the soft serve cone into it.
Floating in there. Oh my God.
Good grief. Yeah. It's good times. What's your favorite? I miss Chinese buffet. Like,
oh, for
as
sure.
As somebody who grew up in small towns my whole life, that was a thing. And then coming to Atlanta.
Dude, just getting a plate full of those Chinese donuts, which is just flaky biscuits covered in sugar.
Yep.
That was deep fried?
Yeah. Or like you get, I don't know, 10 pounds of crawfish and you work for like maybe an ounce of meat. the tiniest tails imaginable.
I'll never forget going to that Chinese buffet, FU Garden in something.
Oh, yeah.
And
the FU.
Went with Chris, my cousin, and he had gone up for another round of food. And I'd taken one of those crawfish off his plate and put it inside his drink. And they had that like translucent type glass. So he came back and this thing's floating in there. And he went to pick it up, the drink just dropped it to me. He's like, I thought it was fucking Predator in my drink.
Dan, have you had Chinese buffet?
Yes.
Okay. Just make
sure.
But
not since the pandemic started.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I haven't either.
I worked with Kevin for like 3 or 4 years. Yes, I've had Chinese buffet.
You didn't work with me for that long. You bailed after a year, you pansy.
No, it was at least two.
Yeah. Anyway.
What Chinese buffet did we go to, Dan? We went to the Indian buffet.
And Japanese buffet, Kiku, in Buckhead.
Bobo Garden.
That wasn't
I guess
buffet.
That's not a buffet.
No.
What?
I did go there recently, though. Forgot how good that place is.
And everything at the buffet tastes the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's the exact same aftertaste. Every single bite of food you get is...
worth it.
Oh, it's worth it, for sure. Yeah, and Stephen Perales is right. The point of the night. Nothing more suspicious than Chinese buffet pizza. Yeah. That's, God, we need to do something like that. Once everything's completely done, like, or like a Shoney's.
Why don't we just go to like a Brazilian steakhouse, which is like the classy version of the Chinese buffet, essentially.
Yeah. Just have it flipped to green the entire time.
Exactly. You don't stop.
See how high the plate piles up before you can catch up.
That's what we used to do at this the conveyor belt sushi place in Barcelona. We just see who could stack the plates the highest before we left.
Yeah. Stephen Perales bringing up Nori Nori. Nori Nori's solid. It's not Kiku, though. I feel like Kiku's better.
Yeah.
In Buckhead.
Yeah. Well, they haven't done the buffet since COVID. I went there weeks ago. They're just doing half off.
And the one in Milton was good, too. It's not as good as, or Alpharetta is off Old Milton. It's not as good as Buckhead. No. No.
What about CC's? Should we just do a day of CC's?
Yes.
Are we just planning the bachelor weekend? It's just buffets for every meal. We do a breakfast buffet at Shoney's.
No, it's DVB's. And then we go to CC's.
And then we do Brazilian steakhouse.
So we do Brazilian steakhouse. Yeah. Dan's just completely tuning us out. He's watching. He can put his full attention on the Atlanta United 2 game right now.
No kidding, man.
Any takeaways, any positive takeaways other than Dom Dwyer's bike from the Columbus game?
I think the ball movement passed forward.
What a goal.
All right, dude. We get it. Dom Dwyer scored the bike. We already talked about that, Dan. Mm-hmm.
He just scored on a volley. That was beautiful. Damn it. Who's number 11 on the twos? I wish I knew who the twos players were.
You don't even know. I think the ball movement and offensive playmaking has been really great. I think that's been consistent week over week.
Yeah.
That I feel like they're creating chances. Araujo, Almada, Moreno, now Joseph back in the fold, Cisneros. I think all of those guys are clicking really well. The chances are clearly coming, and they're getting on the end of them consistently. I don't remember. We haven't gone two games in a row without an injury, I don't think we've gone two games in a row without scoring a goal either. So yeah. we're at least scoring pretty consistently week over week. The issue is we can't seem to get out of a match whenever we are having to put up multiple goals just to get a draw. That's really where the issues are coming from. So
yeah, it's like if we had Frank DeBoer right now, we'd probably be pretty solid, what you're saying.
Probably.
Because of the defensive structure.
Yeah.
He would have wingers.
It would be so boring.
What is the reluctance in playing a three back? Because I felt like we played a lot better with three in the back on Saturday whenever we switched over to that. I know it was out of necessity due to the roster, but like I always feel like we play better with three in the back.
Yep.
Like historically, we've always played better with three in the back.
The only thing with three in the back is then you've got one less opportunity to get somebody else upfield. So I guess when you're at nil-nil or you're in a leading position, you want to get more people up the field. But then if, you know, the game, you know, the injuries dictate with the defenders that we have. We were almost playing like a 3-7 at one point towards the end when we were throwing absolutely everything at the goal. I think that's all you're gonna be. I don't think it's a reluctance. I think just Pineda prefers to play with a back line of four, but now he's not going to be able to.
I mean, I felt like it was the same thing with Tata. Like Tata didn't want to play with three in the back, but I felt like his teams always looked great whenever we had three center backs.
But the teams look great with two center backs. Because the thing is with Tata, we would get up the field and then we'd be able to swarm back real easy. And, you know, I guess it's just a philosophy, like you want to have as many, ideally, you don't want your center backs touching the ball. You want to be defending from the front. So if you can get more guys up there to push and to press, then that's ultimately going to work out better for you because, you know, the potential of scoring more goals is higher. But we've had, because, you know, like to Kevin's point, I mean, we played awesome. We had two stupid mistakes where, we eventually lost the game. Columbus, you got to give them their due. They paid they played really well. So our attack is just going from strength to strength. I feel like, I know the goals aren't necessarily always there, and the wins aren't there to prove that, but we had 22 shots. Was it? I think it was actually more than that. 22 shots to their 9.
Yeah, again, it comes back to the fact that what we were talking about before, right? Like, this league is structured on just get into the playoffs and then hope that you've got a healthy squad to push you through. And I think that that's really what Atlanta's going to be struggling to do this year, is that offensively, if we can maintain some semblance of consistency and pick up some defensive depth in the transfer window and maybe get Gutman and Hernandez back healthy going into playoffs, maybe we can shore up that backside and maybe we get a goalkeeper even in this transfer window. But we just got to maintain and try to squeak out some wins along the way. And I think that if we can at least have a couple, some sort of level of competency and consistency on the back line, defensively speaking, that's going to happen, because offensively they're doing all the right things. I'm not seeing anything offensively that's putting us in these issues that we have seen early on in the season or even in years past.
Like, how much of it is that pivot in the midfield?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't know in isolation that those two are playing poorly, but I don't, like, are they the problem, or is it just our back line that's the issue right now?
I mean, I've lost track of the amount of times, and I don't want to put all of Atlanta United's burdens on one man, but I've lost track of the number of games and the number of situations where Franco has been caught out of position and losing his man. And Pineda had a great point about it, which was, you know, the reason why Franco continues to get starts and continues to get playtime, A, it's, there's nobody else to put him in there, but B, the back line always ends up having more scrutiny, because if they miss out on a play, or if they miss their ball, or if they miss their player, it more than likely results in a shot on goal or a goal that follows up with that. Now, if a striker misses out on an opportunity and he doesn't score, nobody's going to think anything about it, because it doesn't necessarily determine the outcome of the game, because they're going to get more chances to do so. So, but that said, it is glaringly obvious that Franco is still not up to where he really was towards the end of last season, and he's had some inconsistencies in his ability to maintain his position on strikers and midfielders as they're making that transitional play towards the back line. And in a situation that Atlanta's in right now with the back line so depleted, you can't have that consistently happening with one player.
Yeah, I would really like to see a stat on that, because I know it's highlighted. I feel like he's a better player than we'll give him credit for.
No, I think I don't think it's just,
I feel like the eye test with him is biased.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you say, it's, if you make a mistake in the back line, it's like, oh my God, hey, remember when freaking Alan Franco made all those mistakes?
Right.
And it's like, well, how many of them actually were there? He's arguably one of our better center backs. I mean, he's one of the remaining three
yeah,
center backs.
Exactly.
But I still have faith in Alan Franco, because I've seen what he can be.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's just going to be, okay. So Caleb Portis in his press conference after the game said, you know, because Columbus have been going through a really difficult time. I mean, they've had a few injuries, nothing like Atlanta's been dealing with, but they've had a bunch of injuries. He was saying their first four subs that they made during the game were because of injuries. And he was saying that people say the sky is falling and all it takes is one game and you can turn it all around. And I really feel like that's basically what Atlanta United have. And potentially Alan Franco could be a key part of that. I mean, well, he has to be. So I just have, you know, you got to put him out there, one, because there really is no one else. But two, I mean, are you really going to sit him even if you had another option?
Right. You can't now, right? No. Like, there's not – you can't do that to him now.
Right. Well, the other thing is, like, if Miles Robinson was in, okay, then you would start Miles Robinson 1-1 over Alan Franco. But are you going to start Are you going to start Tijan over Alan Franco? Are you going to start Campbell over Alan Franco?
Yeah, I mean, what was our record with the pairing of George Campbell and Miles Robinson earlier on in the season?
Oh man, I don't know.
Rather good from what I remember, right? I guess we'd have to look that up, but I feel like they had a pretty good run at the beginning of the season whenever they were paired together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Campbell had some games that weren't great.
So Campbell and Robinson, the 3-1 against Kansas City, they paired together. Alan Franco and Miles Robinson were the pair when we got throttled in Colorado. It was Campbell and Franco against Charlotte. And was Miles out at that point? No, Miles and Franco together were not a good pair.
That's the thing. It's like Franco is the only common thread.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to, I mean, there haven't been games. I believe he's played every game.
No, he might have come in as a sub in the, no, he did not play in the opener against Kansas City.
No, because he was coming off of that preseason injury.
Oh, right? The red card. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but Kansas City is shit. They're really bad.
Okay. In fact, I mean, we are too then, right? No. Did Peter Vermes get fired?
Oh, no, he's still there.
No. Miguel Angel Ramirez from Charlotte got fired.
Yeah, I think Kendrick said something about that early on whenever I was making the joke about Pineda trying to dodge the blame, saying that Charlotte's doing better than we are and they still fired their manager. So
yeah, that is stupid.
It's very stupid.
Especially at this juncture in the season.
It's like a pissing contest with the front office or something like that he lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. That was a really dumb move on their part.
If I was Minnesota, I'd be snapping him up.
Yeah, I mean, is
or Cincinnati,
since he's not doing poorly, right? Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right. I forgot that they had kind of started trending up.
They're still like, what are they? They at one point they were a few points out of first. I mean, the table for the East is super tight at the top, right?
Again,
I mean, NYCFC is back in first, which is crazy considering the start to the season that they had.
Yeah, NYC had. I mean, they could win Supporters Shield this year.
Yeah, Cincinnati's at 19 points. I mean, they're four back from a top four. So from a home game in the first round. All thanks to Brandon Vasquez. Good old BV19. I don't know what number he has up in Cincinnati, but I do miss that fellow. I would have very much liked to see him play for Atlanta United this season.
So, so Atlanta United back at home in a little over 2 weeks against Inter Miami, and then got a pretty decent run at leading up until the NYCFC game on July 3rd. So you've got Inter Miami, Toronto, Red Bulls, and then NYCFC. So in that run, you've got two very winnable games, one challenging game, and then you've got NYCFC. Like, where do we see this team headed in those four games, if you were to guess, as far as win, lose, and draws?
Who were they again?
Inter Miami, Red Bulls, NYCFC, and Toronto. Toronto's currently sitting in 12th in the East. Inter Miami sitting in 7th, just 2 points ahead of Atlanta United. Red Bull sitting
in. We have a game in hand, too.
Yeah. Red Bull sitting in 4th, and then NYCFC obviously leading the table.
I would say, best case, we get 9 points out of that. But best case.
I think best case, we get 7. I don't see us winning 3 in a row.
Well, I mean, points. It would be Miami Red Bulls, then you would lose to NYCFC and then beat Toronto. So it wouldn't be 3 in a row.
Well, NYC is the last of that run, so they would have to win against Miami, Toronto, Red Bulls.
Oh, and so the order you send it was...
Yeah, no, I was just saying... Yeah, I was just saying... Yeah, sorry, I was just saying them in the order I remembered saying them. Sorry. The order that they play is Miami, Toronto, Red Bulls, then NYCFC.
I honestly don't think Miami are very good. And
they're
Toronto
ahead of us, granted, on
good. And we play them at home after a rest. That gives me some bill of confidence.
Where are we playing? Is Red Bulls at home?
I think that Red Bulls was at home. Hold on, let me see. No, Red Bulls. So we actually go on a pretty extended stint away. So Toronto, Red Bulls, and NYCFC are all on the road.
I'm interested to see how this team fares against Red Bulls because they haven't played them yet. We haven't seen Almada against Red Bulls. Has Arujo played against Red Bulls? I don't know. But
I'll also mind you that these games are in pretty short turnarounds. So Toronto, we play on the 25th, then we play Red Bulls on the 30th, and then we play NYCFC on the 3rd. So all these games are within 4 to 5 days of one another without full week of rest on the road.
NYCFC's on the road?
Yep.
Ooh.
That's a loss. It's always a loss in Yankee Stadium, yeah, right? We have like one win in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
Like I said, I think best case, I'm leaning towards 6 points now instead of 7. I think we're going to lose to both of the New York teams.
We'll beat Toronto. We'll beat Miami. And I think we probably draw Red Bulls. I feel like we draw Red Bulls more than either team wins those games, right? And we've never beat them in the regular season still.
I think this could be the changing of the wind. I'm going to be positive here. I'm going to say 9 points is best case scenario.
Wow. I like it. I like it.
Worst case is zero.
No, yeah, to Brittany S's point, 0 points if Bobby's in goal.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put Bobby in anymore. Because I feel like they'll play Rios Novo against Pachuca, see what he's got, and then you're going to play him against Miami. Oh, Atlanta United 2-3-2 up.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, number 11 was David Mejia. Is that right? He scored
but it wasn't number 11. It was, I don't know, I think it's 24.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any of those players.
Yeah.
I don't follow the twos very... I can hardly follow the ones right now.
Yeah. So, anything else before we wrap things up here?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, do you want to talk about Inter Miami?
Do you have something prepared for Inter Miami?
Do you want to talk about that next week?
We're waiting on you, Dan.
Yeah, where's my intro?
Oh, you didn't say if you had something ready.
I said, yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Well, you know.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you weren't listening, so.
Sometimes you make a little too much noise. Can't hear you. You got to sweet talk us. Talk dirty to us. Then we'll hear you better. You waited for it long enough. It's been weeks now. You've been celibate. You've come back. You've returned. Here he is. The Dan Load.
As I said earlier, I don't think Miami are very good. I think Campana is very good, and I think their goalkeeper, Drake Callender, is also good. But I was watching a bunch of their highlights in the past five MLS games, and it seemed like every goal they scored, they were either had the same amount or greater amount of attackers to defenders and were able to find a pass, an easy pass to a tap in, or Campana made something of brilliance, and that was only twice. So, and to kind of go back from where they were. So last weekend they played Portland at home 1-2-1. But again, they were easy goals outside of Campana's first, and Portland have been awful. I believe they've won 3 or 4 games all season, whereas they've done a whole bunch of losing before that. Then before that, they played New York Red Bulls and won 2-0 at home again. That was really bizarre. I believe one of their goals was an outside shot from the 18, but the goalkeeper just seemed to dive incredibly late. It was almost as late as Bobby Shuttleworth's dives. So they were kind of like almost gifts of goals. Then they went to Philadelphia and drew 0-0, but Philadelphia had 20 shots to Miami's 9. 8 of those of Philadelphia's on target, only 2 of Miami's were. And if you watch the highlights, it's all Philadelphia. Then they had DC at home, and they drew while they were up 2-0 and lost 2 goals to get a draw with Philadelphia. And again, both of their goals, they were guys in wide open spaces unmarked. And then they lost 1-0 to Charlotte at Charlotte. So they obviously do a whole lot better at home than they do on the road. And outside of Campano, Lassiter has chipped in a few goals here and there, but I don't know what it is. They seem to be incredibly lucky. And I feel like it's only a matter of time before that luck is going to run out and they're going to go back to the mean of where they were. So if you could keep comparing the two between Atlanta United and Inter Miami, I feel like at some point in time, it's going to get turned on in Atlanta and we should be put together a winning streak. In the same time, I feel like the game is going to be up in Miami and they'll regress. So in the head-to-head, Miami have beaten us 3 times. We've only beaten them 2 and we've had 3 draws. Campana, the Ecuadorian, is obviously their best-rated player. He's got 7 goals on the season. But their top-rated player is Drake Callender. So he has replaced Nix Marsman, the Dutchman, who is recovering from knee surgery. And ever since Callender's come in, they've been so much better. He's such a assured guy at the back. He's in the 99th percentile on saves. Every time there's a shot taken on him, he has an 80% chance that he will save it, which puts him in the 97th percentile of all goalkeepers through MLS. And you can compare that with Bobby Shit Shuttleworth. Every time someone takes a shot on him, it's a 64.5% that he will save it, which puts him in the 19th percentile, which is terrible. So I think we will bring in a goalkeeper during the break, but we will see. Inter Miami, I think they're frauds. We should beat them. So if we're going to do score predictions, I'll see what Kev and Tim and you in the trap have for those predictions.
All right. Are we unmuted?
Yeah, we're unmuted.
Score prediction, I'll say 2-1 Atlanta.
Yeah, I'll probably say the same. No way we're keeping a clean sheet.
No, not at all. What do you think? Dan, did you say your score prediction?
No.
I did not. What did you guys say? I wasn't listening.
2-1.
2-1. Miami?
Atlanta.
Oh, good.
Follow Atlanta.
Yeah, they'll probably will get a goal, but just to be different, I'll go 3-1.
Wow.
I like it.
It's probably not going to happen. It's probably going to be a 2-1, but you guys both picked 2-1, so I can't do the same thing.
Can't copy us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Is that it?
Well, thank you all for joining us. I know the wait was long overdue. We will try to be back next week. At the very least, we will be back at least before that Miami game to catch up with everyone. If not next week, then the week after. If you want to know when we go live, you can follow us on Twitter at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B in the number 4. Or the best way is to subscribe and hit the bell icon on YouTube to get a notification whenever we go live. Then you don't have to remember. You don't have to check Twitter. you can get rid of all those social media apps and just get a notification whenever we go live and hang out with the fine people in the trap, like those of you who join us each and every week. So thank you so much for doing so. Gentlemen, where can they find you at online? If anywhere.
Yeah. At Tim Herb on Instagram. You could maybe, I don't know.
Dan, what about you?
Follow me on the Home Before Dark Twitter. I'm debating whether to delete my Twitter account.
Yeah, I think our future plugs are just going to be the show account. Twitter, because none of us really use our personal accounts for much of anything these days. So, which is a good thing. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Be sure to check in next time. As always, be home before dark.
Tim, has the MySpace page coming?
It's not.
Damn it.